Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of our listeners and viewers from Torah Anytime. Tonight, we're going to do the halachas of how to kasher for Pesach. We will take a walk through the kitchen. We'll go through every detail of the kitchen, from the ovens to the sinks, to the countertops, to the urns, everything we can think of. I'll probably forget a couple, but I'll go through. I made a list of a few things in the kitchen, how to kasher it, how to make it kosher for Pesach. So before we start, that in general, we don't encourage people to take on far-fetched chumras in different areas of halacha without any particular messiah or rav that tells them to do it. It's not something that's usually encouraged. However, when it comes to Pesach, there's a klal, Yisrael Kedoshim Heim. And in Pesach, we find that people, they're makbid on being choshes for far-fetched scenarios or a das yachid, is a shita like that, and people will do things that seem very, very extreme. However, we say Yisrael Kedoshim Heim, and we don't discourage these extreme chumras when it comes to Pesach, when it comes to chametz, or machmer, very, very much. However, therefore, if someone has a mesiris avos, which means that he saw by his family, by his parents, a certain hanhaga, a certain chumra, a certain minog, that person should keep that to the best of their ability, and they shouldn't throw it away just because it's an extreme chumra. We have a mesira, we have minog, and even though it seems extreme, Yisrael Kedoshim Heim, when it comes to Pesach, we try to keep these things. However, it's important for a person to know the difference. What's a halacha, what's required, and what's a minog, and what's a chumra? A person should know the difference. Why is that so? Reason number one, not always do we have a Mesiris Avos. Sometimes you can have where someone's parents used to have Formica countertops. We'll see in the Shir that Formica countertops cannot be kosher for Pesach. So therefore, their parents always covered the counters. Now, this person has granite countertops. Granite countertops can be kosher for Pesach. So first of all, he shouldn't say his Mesiris Avos is to cover the counters because his parents never had the option to kosher the counters. Also, there are different ways we'll see how to kasher the countertop. There's what's required by halacha, then there's a chumra. So he doesn't have a mesira which way to go. So it's important to know what's halacha, what's a chumra. Also, there are certain cases where it's not lechatchila. A person, during the year of COVID, myself included, I found out less than a week before Pesach that I was staying home. I had less than a week to clean my entire house and to kasher the kitchen and everything we had to do for Pesach. So over there, a person has to know what's halacha, what's a chumra, what do you have to do, and what is something which we try to do in lechatchila circumstances, but there are cases where it's b'shas hadchak, where a person won't be able to do it. So we're going to go through each thing. We'll start with just a story, just to start us off. I saw recently in the new Haggadah that was put out by Reb Sirli Besser, the Reb Meilech Haggadah from Reb Meilech Biederman, over there, it's a wonderful Haggadah. Over there it says, the story that we're discussing chumras now. So there was once a couple which came to a rav, and the wife, she tells the rav, says, I'm falling apart. My husband, he wants me to scrub between the tiles in the kitchen floor, scrub the grout between the tiles. I can't do it. I have no strength left. So the husband looks at the rav looks at the husband, and the husband says, well, that's our minug. It's a very important chumra that we do, and we have to do it. How can we just give it up? And the woman says, well, I just can't do it. I have no koiches. So the Rav thinks for a second, and the Rav says, you know what? He tells the couple, this chumra is a very, very special chumra. It's taka a good chumra, and it's very important and very chashiv and very holy. It's so chashiv and holy, it doesn't pass for you to let, he tells the husband to let your wife, you know, get down and do this. This is special for the husband, only roi for the husband himself to do this chumra. So the message is obvious. And with that, let's start going through the kitchen. So we have to give some klalim before we start in Hilchos Hechsher Kelim. Now, obviously, as we go through the halachas, I'm not always going to be able to quote to you who and why each halacha is the way it is. Anyone who'd like to contact me, you can always contact me, and I will discuss with you further. Generally, it's from how I learned the sugya and how I've come out discussing it with different rabbanim that I'm in touch with. And that's how I'm going to say over the halacha. So if you call them, the first klal is there are two different ways to kasher kelim in general, which means there's something called tam. Tam is taste, the taste of food, which gets absorbed into the walls of a kli, of a vessel. You have a pot, someone cooks non-kosher piece of meat in the pot, the flavor, the tam of that piece of meat gets absorbed into the walls of the vessel, of the kli. And now if I were to go cook a kosher piece of meat in that pot, the tam will come out of the pot, the walls of the pot, into my meat, and it will trafe up my piece of meat. That's called tam. Hechsher kelim, we're trying to be machsher and to make this kli kosher again, where I can cook in it and my meat will not become non-kosher. So there are two basic types of hechsher. One is called libun, and one is called hagala. Libun is kashering with fire. The lashon of the mechaber is that v'alibun hu achi yehei nitzaytzeis nitazem mehem, which means we'll see there are two different types of libun. Libun is kashering with fire. There's libun chomer and libun kal. Libun chomer, the mechaber siman tof nun alav siv dalet says that libun chomer means you heat it up until the point where there are sparks that are coming out of the kli. That's how hot you make it. Now, even though the lashon of the mechaber is there are sparks coming out of the kli, the consensus amongst the paiskim is that a self-clean oven, running a self-clean cycle on the oven, is considered libun chomer, libun gomer, and that would be considered the level of nitzaytzeis nitazem mehem, even if you can't actually see those nitzaytzeis. So whether it's 750 degrees Fahrenheit, it could be more, whatever the different numbers, that's not really relevant to Hilchas Pesach, how we're kashering our kitchen. For all intents and purposes, a self-clean cycle would be considered libun chomer. The next type of libun, kashering through fire, is called libun kal. Libun kal, the Rama says in the same place, that if it's nislabin kol kach, shekash nisraf olav mibachutz, if you touch it from the outside with a piece of straw, and the straw gets scorched, then you have achieved the heat level of libun kal, which is the lower level of libun. And Ramosha and Tshuva writes this is considered 425 degrees Fahrenheit. Others write 450 degrees Fahrenheit. There are other shitas. We'll see as we go along, practical, how to apply it to each part of the kitchen. The next type of kashering is called hagala. Hagala is kashering through bishul, through water, boiling, bubbling hot water. When we have boiling, bubbling hot water, there are two types of hagala. There's hagala in a kli rishon, which is hagala in a kli, which is heated up on the fire. And then there's hagala with irei kli rishon, where I'm pouring from a kli, which is heated up on the fire, pouring onto something that would be irei kli rishon. For example, if I take a fork and I drop it into a bubbling hot pot on the fire, that's called hagala in a kli rishon. If I take that pot and I pour it onto the fork, that would be irei kli rishon. Now there's a fundamental difference just to understand between libun and hagala. That libun, what you're doing in lomdis is you're burning, you're incinerating the blia. You're burning it out of the kli. As opposed to hagala, you're not burning it out of the kli, you're being maflit, you're expelling or expunging the tam from the kli. And there are different nafkaminas, different halachas that will come out of that, that as we go along, the differences between hagala and libun. Now one difference, fundamental difference, is that since libun, and libun kal is actually a machlekes, and the Mishnah Berurah has lashonis that are mashma both ways, but for this year, well, let's say libun kal is likely mechomer, that it's burning the blia. So when it comes to libun, since you're burning the tam, so you don't have to wait till the kli is a ene ben yoyma, till it's 24 hours since it was used for non-kosher, because you're burning the tam, and what's the difference if the tam is potent or it's already pogum after 24 hours? As opposed to hagala, where you're expelling the tam, you're expunging it. So if I have a fork which I put into a bubbling pot of hot water and the tam comes out, what's stopping that tam from coming right back into my fork? Because of that, the halacha is you have to wait till your kli has been not used for 24 hours with heat. After that, you can kasher it with hagala. But before that, we're worried the tam will come out of the kli and come right back in, because all you did was you expelled it, you didn't burn it. That's the difference between libun and hagala. The next klal, and then we'll be ready to go through the kitchen. Klal number two is kiboyle kach pelte. How do I know which type of kashering process do I need to do to make my item kosher? So we have a klal, kiboyle kach pelte, the way the tam was absorbed, that's how it gets spit out. Which means, if the tam was absorbed through dry heat, through fire, you need libun chomer, to get that out. Which means, if something was absorbed through dry heat, you're going to have to get really, really hot temperatures to get out that blia. If it was absorbed through water, through bishul, then Hagala would take it out. If it wasn't a Kli Rishon, you would need a Kli Rishon to take it out. If it was Ire Kli Rishon, you'll need Ire Kli Rishon to take it out. What's Liban Kal? When is Liban Kal ever used? Liban Kal is essentially in place of Hagala, technically in a Kli Rishon. Liban Kal is where Hagala won't do the trick because of different technicalities. You can use Liban Kal in its place, but it does not take the place of Liban Chomer. There's another time where you can use Liban Kal, which is not really relevant to Hilchas Pesach for this year. It is deep down for different Tzirufim, but not for this year, which is that there's a concept called Isura Bala, where something absorbs Isser, then you need Liban Chomer if it came Ayidei HaEish, let's say a treif piece of food. However, if there's Hetera Bala, where a vessel absorbed a Dover Heter, like Milchigs, or Kodjim in the Beis HaMikdash, there, even if it came Ayidei HaEish, you don't need Liban Chomer to get it to burn it. Liban Kal would be enough to kasher that item. Which means that if I took a spit and I roasted a piece of treif of meat, I need Liban Chomer to get it out. If I roast a piece of kodshim and then it becomes nicer, the blias become nicer, there Liban Kal would be enough to get it out. There's a machlekes in the Paiskim if chomets is considered hetera bala or isura bala. Because chomets, when it went into my kli, it was a never mutter. However, it was still had a shame chomets when it went into my kli. And it's a machlekes halacha lemaisa, we pass on the chatchila that chometz is considered isura bala, and therefore if a blia of chometz went into your kli aideya eish, it needs liban chomer to get it out. That's the klalim section. Now we establish all the principles. Now comes the practical section. How do we kasher our kitchen for Pesach? So let's start with the oven. So the oven has many different parts. There's the inside of the oven itself. There are the racks in the oven. There's the stovetop, the grates, the area under the grate. There's the oven hood. There are the knobs. And if someone has a glass stovetop, it's a different shiloh. So let's go through one by one. So the oven itself. The oven itself, what are we worried about? We're worried that someone cooked macaroni, let's say, for example, in the oven, pasta in the oven, and there's smoke or steam that came out of the macaroni, the pasta, and it reached the top of the oven. The top of the oven, the roof absorbed that chametz blios, and now you're going to be baking a cake, a kosher the Pesach cake, and those blios, the steam is going to come up from the cake to the top of the oven. It'll pull out those blios of chametz, put it back into your food. That's what we're worried about when we are kashering our oven. So Rav Moshe Feinstein's Zatzal had a chumrah that an oven needs liban chomer to kasher it for Pesach. That was Rav Moshe's chumrah. And that's what he held. However, it's Yeduah B'Shem Rav Aaron Cutler, and that's how many in Lakewood and other places also go, that one could rely, even for Pesach, on Liban Kal to kasher the oven. Various reasons, one could rely on Liban Kal to kasher the oven. Therefore, the best way to kasher an oven, if someone has a self-clean oven, and there's a self-clean cycle, put on the self-clean cycle, one cycle, couple of hours, and that is considered Liban Chomer for feed all the shittas. That's the best way to kasher the oven. If someone does not have a self-clean oven, then what I was makabel from my rabbanim is that 2 hours on the highest temperature between 500, 550, whatever it is, 2 hours on that temperature would be a Liban Kal that's good enough for Pesach. And that's what you would do to kasher the oven. So you have either the self-clean cycle or you have this 2 hours on the highest temperature, which will get you your Liban Kal. Now the difference is with regards to the racks. Now the racks, over there we're worried not just about the zeya, the steam going into the top of the oven. On the racks we're worried that maybe someone put some food on the rack and that food now put in blias of chametz ayidei eish through dry heat. Now that rack requires Liban Chomer to make a kosher for Pesach. So if you use a self-clean oven and you do a self-clean cycle so your oven is kosher and your rack is kosher for Pesach also. If you just put it on the highest for 2 hours, your rack is still not kosher for Pesach. So what are your options? Option number one is you can cover the rack with foil, or one just has to be very careful not to put any food on that rack. Because if you put a piece of matzah directly on that rack, that matzah now will not be kosher for Pesach because it will absorb the tam of the chametz that was on the rack. And specifically for Ashkenazim, Ashkenazim don't have a klal of Eine Ben Yoyme on Pesach, which means during the year, if a kli was not used for 24 hours, b'dieved, the food that you put in there is kosher, even if it was a non-kosher kli. On Pesach, we don't say Tam Lichgam. We don't have the Kula of Eina Ben Yoimi for Ashkenazim. We'll go with the Rama. Therefore, if you put matzah on that rack, and that rack was once used for challah, that matzah will now be no longer kosher for Pesach. So, if you have self-clean, do the self-clean. If you don't have self-clean, put on the highest for 2 hours, and either don't put food directly on the rack, or cover the rack with foil. Those are the options. Now, there was, a few years ago, some Rabbanim decided to look into the Metzias. There were some that tried to say that the area of the glass door of the oven doesn't get as hot, and therefore you have to cover the glass door with foil because it doesn't become kosher with the self-clean cycle. Glass needs Lieben Chomer. We'll see later, glass is more Chomer, and it needs Lieben Chomer. And they will say, even with a self-clean cycle, your glass will not get kosher for Pesach. Now, these Rabbanim looked into it further, and they spoke it over. I heard it from Rabbi Torsky from Albert. He said he heard from Rabbi Dov Schreiber from Town Appliance, and they say that the Metzius is, it does get very, very, very hot by the glass door as long as your gasket is in good condition, which most ovens are. If it's not, it's not. If your gasket's in good condition, it gets hot over there also, and you do not need the Fi Halacha. One does not have to cover the glass door of the oven. Now, Yisrael Kadeshim Heim, there are those that decided to do it. If it's your minug, again, Maseres Avos, it's a chashiv thing, don't just throw out your minug. However, Medina, Lahalacha, Lanias Daiti, one is not required to cover that glass door because it gets hot over there also and it gets kosher. Even if it's not covered, and even if you're worried about it, it's not going to make your food not kosher from Zeya. It's only an issue if food actually falls on the glass door. But either way, Lanias Daiti, one did not have to cover that glass door with foil. That's the oven itself. Now let's move on to the grates on top of the oven. So the grates have a din of something called a chatzuva. A chatzuva is something in halacha. It's in Sif Dal and Tufton Aleph. It used to be they'd have an oven, which would be basically a box. In the box would be a fire. In the fire there'd be a tripod, a three-legged stool. On top of that stool, they would put the pot that they're cooking in. The halacha, ledina, since the chatzuva is constantly in the fire, it doesn't need to be kasher. However, the Rama says the minhag is that we do kasher it, we're machmer, we do kasher it, but it's enough with liban kal, it does not need liban chomer, even if food became absorbed through dry heat. Therefore, many places can say the grates on top of the oven, they are considered a chatzuva, because they're in the fire, and therefore you would not need liban chomer to kasher them. Which means you could just put them in the oven in the self-clean cycle. However, it has been proven to ruin the finish on the grates, so your wife might not be so happy if you put those grates in the self-clean cycle. They won't look as nice afterwards. So what you can do, what many people do, is you take a blech or heavy-duty foil, cover the grates, or you can take the largest pot that you have, fill it with water and cover the grates, turn on, and while the grates are covered with this heavy-duty foil or with this blech or with this pot with water, water's in the pot for practical reasons, you'll burn the pot otherwise, you turn on the stovetop to the highest, leave it that way for 15 minutes, it is now kosher for Pesach. Now, it's not safe to put on all four in one shot. It's a fire hazard. You could do two at a time, front left, back right. Could be you could even do two on each side at one time, and that you can do, doing all four, can be a fire hazard. Now, when you do this, so the grates are now kosher for Pesach, and the area under the grates, Anias Daiti, are also kosher for Pesach. First of all, food many times does not really fall there. If it does fall there, not always do we eat it. But regardless of that, the Lieben Kal that you're getting when you put it on top will work for the bottom area of the under the grates. There are other tzirufim also, which I can't get into detail right now, why one would not have to cover that. However, here is another place where Yisrael Kadoshim Haim, and there is a minig by some to cover the area under the grates. They even sell in some of the stores ready-made, like I guess, pieces you can put on top of the grate, under the grate, on top of the fire area, which cover it. Yisrael Kadoshim Haim, that would be Begeder Chumra, Ladina, one does Lanias Daiti, you don't have to cover that area. It's a well-known and accepted Chumra. People do try to cover the area. And that is that. The next halacha would be, let's discuss the oven hood. So what's the shaila about the oven hood? So the oven hood, so the shaila is you were cooking a pot of pasta or macaroni during the year, the steam went up to the oven hood, and now you're going to cook a pot of soup, and the steam is going to go up and bring down the bliyas from the oven hood into your food. So la'aniyas da'iti, one does not have to cover the oven hood. Why not? Because first of all, in order for the zeya to be absorbed, the tam, into the oven hood, it has to be b'shir yatzei ledes boy. And many people have tried this, and they put their hand there. At the area of the hood, the zeya is not 110 degrees. It's not that hot. Even on a chance that it was hot, there's a shita of the plesi and the aruch ha'shulchan, that zeya, that's chutz l'kedera. If you have an open pot, and the zeya falls out, that zeya does not get absorbed. Zeya in the oven, where it's a closed-in box, there the zeya gets absorbed. Zeya in an open stovetop, that zeya does not get absorbed, and that zeya would not cause an issue, and therefore you do not have to cover the oven hood. What is there maybe a chash? The only chash left is that since they can have grime build up on bottom of the hood, and somehow that grime can drip back down into your food on Pesach. So in that, the Rosh Yeshiva of Shmuel writes, it's not something which really happens, and nothing to be concerned about, and therefore you do not have to cover the oven hood. That's the Rosh Yeshiva's opinion also. And however, again, Yisrael Kadoshim Haim, this goes into the getter of a chumrah. Covering the oven hood would be together chumrah. There are those that do it. I think it's slightly less of a chumrah than covering the area under the grate, so that's a little bit more accepted. I think the different, everyone does different, so I can't talk for other people what their minig is, but it's definitely l'nis da'iti together chumrah. Mi'ikir adin, one does not have to cover the oven hood, but there are those that do it. Yisrael Kadoshim Haim. The next thing is the knobs. So lahalacha, ladina, you can just clean the knobs in the oven. There are those that like to buy separate knobs for Yontif, they're not so expensive. Again, Yisrael Kadoshim Haim, whatever a person does, that would be fine. The Icarus to clean it. So that is with the oven. The next thing with the oven is the glass stovetop. What do you do if you have a glass stovetop? So the thing about glass is that even though during the rest of the year, the halacha is that glass is smooth, is not boileya, which means that during the rest of the year, if it's today, if I have a non-kosher piece of meat made in a glass utensil, I don't have to kasher that utensil. The glass is not boileya. And therefore, if I have glass cups, I can use a glass cup as long as it's clean. I don't care where it was before, glass is not boileya. However, on Pesach, the Ramah says we're machmir, not only is glass boileya, but you cannot kasher with hagala. Hagala, liban kal, that won't work for glass. The only thing that will work is potential liban chomer, and liban chomer is going to break the glass. So you cannot kasher glass with liban kal, only liban chomer, or havzaras kavshaynes, putting it in extreme temperatures. So, if you have a glass stovetop, what are you going to do? How are you going to kasher it? So, now anyone who goes to Orlando, in Encore, for example, all the stovetops there are glass. How are you going to kasher those glass stovetops? So it's complicated. So what I heard from Rabbi Torsky from Albert, what he tells people, he told me, is that there are two parts to that stovetop. The part where you put the pot where the coils, the fire, not coils, but the fire, over there is made of a very strong glass because it gets really hot. It's a very expensive glass. The rest of the stovetop is made from a cheaper glass that can't sustain certain levels of heat, and they insulate it very well that the other part of the glass stovetop does not get so hot. Therefore, he says, the part where the pot, take the biggest pot you have. Don't put a blech on top of the stovetop, because if you put a blech, you're going to crack the glass, because the glass in the middle can't sustain such extreme temperatures. Don't put a blech. Take a really big pot, the biggest you have, and put it on top of the fire. Put the fire in the highest 15 minutes. He said that this temperature gets so hot to the level of Achzaras Kivshaynes, and now the area where you put the pot is now kosher for Pesach, even though it's glass. The other area, he said, well, really doesn't get so hot. It could be it gets to 115. And if that's the case, he said that if food would fall there, he wouldn't eat it on Pesach. You don't really have the option to cover it because it'll crack. It could be they sell some type of thing that you can cover it that's porous and it won't crack. You can look out in the stores. It could be they have stuff in the stores for that. But if you don't have that, I would not cover it. I would kosher the area we put the pot, but if food falls on the other parts of the stovetop and it's hot, I wouldn't eat that food. It's not the most lechatchila situation, but it is what it is. Sometimes if you have it, you have it. You know, you can't always just put in the stovetop that you want where you are on Pesach. So if that's what you have, that's what you have to do. And that's with ovens. Let's move on to sinks, as we are running out of time. Sinks. How do you kasher a sink? So, what are we worried about in the sink? So two things. First thing we're worried about is hot water from the faucet came down and hit a piece of macaroni that was cold. It hit the macaroni with boiling hot water or hot, and now it caused the bleus of that macaroni through irid kli rishon. You have the water from the faucet's kli rishon touches the bottom of the sink with the macaroni there, and you have bleus of irid kli rishon in your sink. The second thing we're choshish for is, well, let's start with that. Now, if that's the case, so the way to kasha your sink would be two ways. Way number one is called a sink insert. You take a plastic insert, you put it into the sink, and now it's kosher because nothing's touching the sink itself. Many people have this minug, and the reason why is because we'll see there are certain chumras that are difficult to accomplish when kashering the sink. If you have the insert, you're good if you all the shittas with all the chumras. The reason why you wouldn't want to do it is because some women don't like it. It gets ichy. Different reasons why. So therefore, some don't like to do it. Now, what can you do if you want to kasher your sink? So we're talking about stainless steel sinks, not plastic. Plastic cannot be kashered for Pesach. Similar to glass, you cannot kasher plastic for Pesach with a Lieben Kal or with a Hagala. So how are you going to kasher the sink? So since the Bliya came in Ayidei Irid Kli Rishon, you're going to kasher with the Irid Kli Rishon. You take a pot, you're going to heat it up on the fire. You don't use that pot for 24 hours before. Heat it up on the fire. Take it to the point where it's bubbling. After it's bubbling, go over to the sink. Make sure the sink was not used for hot liquids or anything hot for the past 24 hours. And now make sure it's dry, and you're going to pour the boiling hot water all over the sink when you do it. So you can see you'll pour in one area, the pot will finish. And before you start pouring in the next area, just brush away any pooling water so that won't cool off the hot water when it lands in the sink. And then you'll go through the whole sink with the sides, kashering it with Irid Kli Rishon, now with kosher for Pesach. That's Ladina Kor Halacha. However, there's a Marshal. The Marshal says a Chumrah that a Dover Gush retains its status of a Kli Rishon. If you have a piece of macaroni, it's a Dover Gush, even if it falls out of a pot. And technically, that would be only Irid Kli Rishon. A Dover Gush, a solid item, retains its status of Kli Rishon, and it's considered like the Bliya went into the sink through Kli Rishon. A Dover Gush. To the point now where you would need Hagala, it's not Ayidei Eish, so you're not going to need Liban here, but you're going to need Hagala of a Kli Rishon in your sink. So if someone wants to be Mekayim the Shita of the Mashal, and this is a little bit more than just a Chumrah, when it came to, let's say, covering the oven hood or covering the area under the grates, that's a Chumrah, Yisrael Kadoshim Heim. When it comes to being Choshish for this Mashal and requiring Hagala and Kli Rishon, it's a little bit more than that. The Dina is not necessary. However, it's much more accepted and widely understood. It has more of a core in halacha to be choshish for this mashal. And what do people who want to be choshish for this mashal, how are they going to kasher their sinks? So there are two options, or three options. Option number one is the insert. You put in the insert and you have no issues. Option number two is something called the Evan Melubin. You buy it in the store, in any one of the Jewish stores. It's a brick, and you put it over the fire, you heat it up, and you hold it with tongs. You take the pot with the boiling hot water, you pour it over this boiling hot stone onto the sink, in every area of the sink, and that now is considered almost at the level of Kli Rishon. It accomplishes being choshish for this chumrah that the Vergush has the status of Kli Rishon, and now your sink would be kosher, the Kuli Alma. Now, this is a difficult task, especially in the size of the sink. It's not so easy. That's why some people want to opt for the chumrah of the Marshal will just put in an insert, because it's very time-consuming and difficult. But if someone does it, they'll have their sink will now be kosher, even according to the Marshal. The other way is called the immersion coil, where what you do is you fill up your sink to the top with water. You put in this immersion coil, and now your sink, which is the Kli Rishon itself, is going to bubble up and boil up with the water, and you have Hagala in the Kli Rishon itself, because the coil is the fire, and it's heating up the water. So the immersion coil, so you have it in the sink, and you bubble up the water in the sink, now the sink is going to be kosher for Pesach. However, when someone does this, they have to be careful for a few things. First of all, I'll say a story by my parents. One year we were doing this, we were koshering the sink with the immersion coil. Now, after you finish it, you take out the coil, and now the sink is filled to the brim with boiling hot water. So, you can wait for the water to cool off, that's a long time, or you can pull out the plug at the bottom so the water will drain. So, my mother put on a glove up to her elbow, puts her hand in the sink to get out the coil. Unfortunately, the water was a little bit higher than the glove, and we don't need to say what happened next. It was not pleasant. Baruch Hashem, she's okay now, and she's better. But You have to be very careful not to burn yourself. That can be a sakana. Be careful. The second thing is that if you have a sink that's under mount sink, it's mounted under the counter, and the glue attaches the sink to the counter. If you do this, there's a possibility of the glue melting and your sink getting broken. So a person has to know if it's worth it or know what they're doing at least. But those are the options. If you want to be mekayim the shita of the marshal, you have to either put in the insert or use the Evan Melubin or use the immersion coil in your sink. However, Ladina, many are reliant, especially if it's not a lechatchila situation where they don't have the time and they weren't planning on staying home or whatever it is, just to do Irik Lerushin, and that's that. The next area of the kitchen or the sink itself is the faucet. What do you do for the faucet? So you run the hot water and the faucet, put it on the hottest for a minute. And some people will take Irik Lerushin from a kettle, a boiling, bubbling hot kettle, or from a pot from the sink, pour it on the faucet. The aerator, which is the filter on the bottom. So over there, either you can unscrew it, you can kosher it with Hagala and the Klerishin, or you can just replace it. It's quite cheap. Those are the different options for the aerator. Now, the next thing we'll talk about is the counter, and I'll try to speed up as it's much longer than usual. The counter, so if your counter is for mica, you can't kosher it. It's plastic. You cannot kosher it for Pesach. You have to cover it. If your counter is made of granite or stone, you can kosher. How do you kosher it? Same thing as the sink. Medina, you do the Irik Lerushin. All we're worried about is there was Irik Lerushin on the counter. If you want to be choshev for the mashal, you'll have to do the Evan Melubin. There is no Eitzah of immersion coil over here. You'll do the Evan Melubin across the whole counter. It's a big job. I've done it before. It's a very big job. So if you're not holding by doing that and you want to be Eitzah the Chumar of the mashal, you're going to cover the counter. That's the Maila of covering, besides the fact that it gives the kitchen the look of a Pesach kitchen because you have covered counters. You are being Mekayim the Shita of the Marshal, and the issue that people have with putting in the insert, that it's not so pleasant because things build up, gook builds up there. You don't really have that with covering the counter, so that is definitely a nice idea if you want to kosher it. So the basic level is Eroi, the Chumra the Marshal is to do the Evan Melubin. The next thing is the backsplash. So if you're covering your counter, or if you're not covering it also, it's kedai to cover the bottom few inches of the backsplash, places where food touch. That way, there won't be any issues with food touching the backsplash during Yom Tov. Urns. So urns, the chashash by an urn is Zeya, again, went onto the spout. Now, since the spout in most urns is plastic, you cannot kosher for Pesach. You will have to get a new urn that is special for Pesach. The next halacha is the microwave. Microwave many times has plastic and glass, therefore it cannot be kosher for Pesach. Once you get a new microwave for Pesach, if they need it, if you don't have a new microwave and you're in a place where you need to cook something, there's always the option of double wrapping, and then you can cook in any microwave, any oven. If it's double wrapped, that would be okay. But the oven, you know, the chatchila, we don't use a microwave, we can't kosher it on Pesach. Same thing with dishwashers, we can't kosher it for Pesach. Even during the year, it's not so push it how to kosher it. So that's with the dishwasher. The microwave during the year, we can kosher. That's for a different time, but you can kosher a microwave during the year. For Pesach, we cannot kosher it. Forks, knives, and spoons. So that we're going to do Hagala. It's roi to have separate silverware for Pesach. It's roi, brought down in Halacha. If someone doesn't, you could kosher it. You would kosher it in a Hagala of Kli Rishon. The way you would do that is you would take a pot, put it on the fire. The pot wasn't used in 24 hours. The silverware wasn't used in 24 hours. You'll have the water bubbling hot. And you'll drop it in. You'll leave it there for a few seconds. You take it out. You put it into cold water. And that is the way to kosher the forks, knives, and spoons. Now, the minig is, if you're using a Pesach pot to kosher, the minig is to kosher that pot after you used it, if you want to use it on Pesach. Which means I use a pot, I dump my forks, knives, and spoons, I pull them out. After I do that, pour out the water and put in, I think you put in new water, I think so, and re-kosher it. It's a minug to re-kosher that pot. If you're using a chametz pot, the minug is to kosher the pot before you use it to kosher. Minug, it's not necessary, medina, but that's the minug brought down in the halacha to kosher it. If you're koshering with Irei Kli Rishon with your Pesach pot, you're koshering your counters Irei Kli Rishon with your Pesach pot, that does not have to be koshered afterwards. You can just use it for Pesach, that's okay. But if you want to use a supa, a Pesach supa to kosher your forks, knives, and spoons, that you should kosher, that's the minhag to kosher it afterwards. L'chatchila. How do you kosher it? You fill it to the brim with water, let it bubble, drop it in the Evan Melubon, then it will overflow. Now that pot is kosher for Pesach. What about bechers, kaises for kiddush? Even though bechers are only used with cold, so you don't really have to kasher them, the minig is to kasher them for Pesach. you kasher them in that kli rishon, in the boiling, bubbling hot pot. However, if you're only kashering bechers in your etzei pesach tikka pot and nothing that has blias in it of chametz, then you don't have to kasher that pot afterwards. It's important because it's an asik. It's difficult to kasher that pot. So if you're only kashering bechers, things that were used with cold, you don't have to kasher it. If you're kashering things that were used with heat, let's say, for example, forks, knives, and spoons, then you would want to, the minhag is to kasher that pot after Pesach. So we're going to end over here with the walkthrough of the kitchen, the basic klalim of kashering for Pesach. We went through the ovens, the sinks, the counters, the bechers, the silverware, microwaves, urns, dishwashers, cover your tables, clean your refrigerators. If you have wires as shelves, don't cover them because it ruins the airflow. Clean them. If you don't have wires, cover the shelves. It's kedai if you can. And that is all for now. We'll stop here. Everyone have a wonderful, wonderful week. Anyone who has questions or comments, please feel free to email me. My email is posted on my speaker page on Torah Anytime. Anyone who knows me probably knows it, or my phone number. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.